And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Sports Grid Radio Network, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 1090 AM. Pete Gray here, back in the studio with Rock Cod Rick Mexa. And boy, do we have a great guest, Joel Ralston. Captain Ralston is here from the Condor, talking some good fishing with Captain Joel.
How much fun is it to have Joel back?
He's so great.
Yeah, right. This is just where you belong, Joel. We have a great time. A lot of fun.
Yeah, it was sad when I had to go.
Yeah. We're just glad you have him back.
Yeah, no doubt.
So much fun seeing him on the dock and in the store, I'm sure, right?
Well, you can hear
him. I can hear him from up here in the world headquarters, right?
Yeah, you called me up that one day. Is that you making the announcement? Yeah. I go, well, somebody has to.
You can recognize that voice anywhere.
Yeah, you always know when the Condor's coming back because you can hear him right about it when they get to the Bally High. You can hear Joel before you can hear the rest of the thing coming in.
We keep that PA cranked
up. That's right, buddy.
That's it.
That's right.
So well, you should.
Not that I need one, but.
Well, we're having a great time here this morning. If you want to join us, man, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 213-432-109. It's been a busy morning on the phones. We got another hour to get your phone calls in. 213-432-1090 is the number. A load of texts, man. Lots of great texts. Lots of great questions. It's hard to go through them because most of the texts are all the same thing. Hey, I fished with Joel this year. We had a great time. Great crew. Love the boat. See you soon. You know, like there's 30 of that same text message.
And we'll try and get to all that we can, but please keep them coming.
It's a busy show.
So I should stop texting that to you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they all have Michelle's number, which is weird. Yeah, but you know, whatever. It's all good. Hey, as promised, we got the results. Johnny was listening and talked about that after Thanksgiving halibut tournament out of Dana Landing there. They had a great tournament. Over 70 anglers. He had 24 boats and some serious money. He got one and some really nice halibut. You know, the first through fourth place were a 33-pounder took the big fish, then a 22, a 21, and an 8-pounder were the top four places on the board. First place walked away with just shy of $4,000, $3,960. And for that amount of money, they were not in all the side pots. Johnny said they missed out on a potential another $1,100 had they ordered, you know, had they got into the extra side pots.
That's a nice halibut for local fishing.
Per pound, that was a pretty good fish. Commercial fishing, we don't get paid like that.
No?
No.
How about a fun day, this one? The second place team, the second and third place fish were on the same boat. So those guys took second and third place money and walked away with $2,040 for second and third place.
Wow.
That's a great day being on the skiff. And then another $150 for that fourth place fish. Yeah, a great.
Eddie Harrington in that mix?
Probably.
Who knows? Mr. Halibut.
Yeah, but a great score and a really fun tournament. It's always super well run. It's it's food afterwards at Dana Landing and a great event. If you didn't get in this year, man, do it next year. It's a fun, easy day. You're drifting around. The weather, for some reason, always seems to be like, I mean, yesterday
it was 77 degrees here yesterday.
The only problem they probably had yesterday was there wasn't a puff of wind to blow you around. Like making a drift yesterday, you when you stop the boat, you better land on top of them because it was flat calm yesterday.
Probably the bounce ballers.
I wouldn't be surprised
if that's who got the big ones.
But whatever,
a nice day like that.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, good bounce balling one.
Big greenie on a dropper loop. Pretty hard to beat on a big halibut.
33 pound halibut.
That's cool.
I'd love to catch one of those.
It's a nice one.
That's a good one for sure. Yeah. What's the biggest one you've ever seen on like your local trips?
Jerry Sue's husband a long time ago on the old New Seaforth boat that's a 95 now, wound in. It straightened the hook on the gaff when I tried to gaff it, and then it slid off, and it must have been 50.
Really?
Yeah, it was up there at La Jolla, right off the streets. It was a big one.
Wow!
I can't believe
the gaff.
It was a backyard gaff where a piece of stainless we had bent and sharpened, and I figured that was the one for it. I should have waited for a second gaff, but I was young and stupid.
Yeah. Oh well.
Might accuse that any higher now, but the hook straightened out and he did put the reel in free spool, so the line snapped and it sunk out. It just slowly sunk out. It was huge.
That's
the biggest one I've ever seen. But there's been a lot of 50s at the clumps outside the Crystal Pier there.
Yeah,
Randy Russ, mm-hmm. he used to be the dentist of the stars around here. he used to go out in a skiff all the time and catch 30, 40, 50 pounders around the clubs there all the time.
I can't comment on the biggest, but I'm confident that I was on the boat for Joel's smallest halibut. We did a tackle store charter years and years and years ago, and Helen, who used to work in the tackle store,
we were fishing for
yellowtail with a 6X junior, and in just terrible odds for a halibut, her 6X junior landed on the bottom and impaled a halibut that was the smallest that you could ever imagine, and I remember that we took a picture with it on a pack of Marlboro cigarettes, and it was a quarter of the size of the, but still perfect shape, perfect shape. Everything.
It was a halibut.
It was a halibut that got impaled on a 6X junior, and it was it was the size of a 50-cent piece, maybe.
Wow. Yeah.
North end of South.
Yeah.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, there was a
nursery, huh?
You could have put 10 of them in the palm of your hand. It was pretty cool.
Wow. We had a black sea bass when I ran the Mascot 6, which that boat's not here anymore, that fit in the palm of my hand. We called Scripps. They had them come down to get it, and they had this big tub, like one of the 5-star tubs, you know. I said, dude, all you need is a bucket.
Yeah,
he needs a bucket. And I go, it's in the hand well right now. It's all, I've never seen one that
that's
small.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think
it's
still up there.
Have spots on
Scripps.
It and everything?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was...
Cool.
Like 6 inches long.
It was itty bitty, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I guess on YouTube you can see that, but we'll describe it. That big. Yeah. Hey, let's jump into the phones. They're packed up, Rick.
You got it, man. How about this time we talk to Dean? Dean's calling us from Huntington Beach this morning. Dean, thanks for hanging in there with us. Well, it looks like we might have lost Dean, so how about we try another and go to Ralph. Ralph calling us from Menifee this morning. Ralph, you hanging in there with us?
I am. Good morning, boys. Good morning, Joel. Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Pete. Happy belated Thanksgiving to you all. I have a question. I've never fished the condor. Yeah.
Oh, you're missing out.
I've never fished on the condor. Yeah. And I was just wondering about your fish handling techniques on the boat. I've been on some boats where they don't prefer that the angler, touches the hook when the fish comes aboard. Is that something your crew does all on their own? Also,
it depends on the fishing.
Spiking and bleeding.
It's all prioritized. Crew's main priority are getting the fish that are on the line in the water on the boat. If it's picky, scratchy fishing, we'll do everything. We'll drag your fish back there. We'll unhook it. We'll spike it. We'll tag it. They'll gill and gut it. They'll drop it. But if it's busy, where we got 8 or 10 going or whatever, crew's always outnumbered by passengers. It's the crew's job to try to get the fish on the water that are, or on the boat that are... that are on the line in the water. So
gotcha. There
might come a time when you might have to do that yourself, and it's, nothing personal. It's just we want to try to get as many on the boat as we can.
Yeah, but when time allows, you're going to spike.
Yeah, absolutely.
Drop the fish into RSW.
We spike and bleed, and then when they have a chance, they gill and gut, and as soon as they have a chance to drop them, they drop them, count them.
Now on the condor, do you guys fillet on the way home, or do you just send them all to the processor?
We do fillet.
You do fillet. Yeah.
Perfect.
All right.
But the processors, regardless of who you choose, they do work that's hard to compare to us.
Yeah, it's well, but, yeah. There's
you
no
know,
comparison.
But, mean,
you can't vacuum
you
bag and portions and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, you pay for it. But, we don't vacuum seal anything. We do put them in Ziploc bags and stuff like that. But then, there's still some handling you got to do when you get home. You got to cut them down to portions. And if you want to vacuum seal them, you got to do it yourself.
And the problem with filleting on the boat, of course, you got to keep all the bellies and the fins and all that kind of stuff too. So
rules,
bluefin, the rules, yeah,
rules, yeah. There's rules. Yeah. That's all changed.
Did you know there were rules?
Yeah, I know what the rules used to be, but now I need a refresher course because commercial fishing. We used to just unhook them, bleed them, slide them down to the fish hole, blast freeze them to -40 degrees, and then.
-40.
Yeah.
That is a rock hard outdoor.
Yeah, yeah. You can really hurt somebody if you drop that on their head.
-40. That's crazy.
And all your fish when you were commercial fishing was stayed whole.
Yeah.
No gill, no gut, no just.
No bled.
Oh, they bled them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Bled blast.
Yeah.
That's the money fish.
Bled blast.
Do they like hang? I've seen things like that.
Some
I've seen
boats
them, like,
hang them, but our guys would set them down there, and then the next time they go down there, they turn them over, and our fish are as straight as anybody else's because they process it with a bandsaw.
Okay.
So they want them as straight as possible.
Got
a little bend makes it kind of
makes sense.
The wood working a little hard,
and that's why one would hang it just to keep it extra straight. But
that's way more work than you really need because we get. The boat I was on, the boss had a really good rep. We had really good fish come off the boat. They were always really cold, always dropped soon. The fish buyers could tell. They cut the tail off, and then they just set it in water. And by how the tail thaws out in the water, they could tell the history of the fish by the time it came out of the water. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah, so that, you know, you can't pull the wool over their eyes. Yeah. Some guys would catch a lot of fish, and they just keep catching and leave the fish on deck. And that the buyers would go, hey, these things were out for forever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What you could tell by just something simple like that.
You know,
so was that, as a captain, was that your job to make sure the guys dropped them, or they just were on
The crew knew, because the crew got a percentage.
Yeah.
You know.
So they knew they'd get better money if they kept
more money, better fish, more money.
More money.
It's all about the more money.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Brad from San Diego says, good morning, guys. Why does a J-hook work better than a circle hook for yellowtail fishing? Or does it matter? Also, missed your Black Friday sale at Fisherman's Landing. Do you have another one coming up soon?
Well, in terms of the sale, our next big sale will be at PCS, so we'll be looking forward to that.
The Pacific Coast Sport Fishing
Show
in March.
Fishing Show, and so we did exactly what we did. We took everything that we have. We've got a lot of closeouts, and we're going to do a lot of really special rod stuff. So PCS will be the next big sale at the tackle store.
By the way, speaking of PCS, Let's Talk Hookup is coming back to the show.
I can't believe it.
I know you think I'm crazy.
I know you're crazy.
But
I'm stoked.
I'm missed
really
being there,
it,
and. Tommy P and Gary, I'm sure, will be there, and Dave will be there, and we're gonna have a good time. So we'll have a booth at PCS, just kind of hanging out, saying hi.
Well, I can't tell you how many people came by the tackle store asking where Pete was at the PCS show last year. So I'll be excited to have you back. That's going to be fun.
That'll be and that's coming up in early March.
Yeah,
so that'll be the big show for sure. What about a J-hook, yellowtail? Why is it better?
The only cool thing about a J-hook is when you get bit, you get to swing with the intent to kill.
Yes.
I mean, it's all about.
And that's what Joel's all about.
I love that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, the circle hook, is kind of anticlimactic. You put the reel in gear and the rod kind of loads up. And, you can be drinking your coffee or holding your purse or something like that. But J-hook, you lay into them. I think it's just funner. I don't know if it's a better hook for it.
For yellowtail, for some reason, I don't know. It seems like you get bit bitter.
The whole planet is all circle hooks now.
Yeah.
Well, you said something earlier that sure is the case, and I've seen it a bunch, and especially the trend these days are smaller and smaller circle hooks. It is just flat out a whole lot easier to put a J-hook into a bait than it is a small circle hook.
Yeah.
And the more time you're manipulating that thing and trying to turn
it
around,
scales off it,
trying to bend it sideways,
give it the death grip so it doesn't slide out of your hand.
Little teeny circle hook in there, where a J-hook, you slip it in and she's right in the water.
Yeah.
That might not make a difference when they're every bait in the corner, but
what is picky
when you've got to really work at it, there's no doubt there's a difference there.
I remember many years ago fishing on the Mission Bell with you at the Coronado Islands and watching you set
that's
the,
before circle hooks were even thought
watching
of
watching you set the hook on a J-hook. Are you still like that? I mean, it was very verbal.
Oh yeah.
It's an audio response.
Very verbal,
very auditory.
I've been on boats when it's really quiet, where nobody goes hey or ho or nothing when somebody gets bit, and it just seems like there's nothing going on. There could be action, but it puts you to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
supposed to be fun,
a little bit of noise when people are, you kind of let it out,
It's supposed to be.
All the stress from at work, this and that, road rage, getting down to the boat, whatever. Let it out. Hook a fish. Let it out. Don't let it fester.
That's the other thing, too. Like, I can't wait for this, especially Joel had a great year. The boat's gained such a great reputation. It always has been. Scott's boat's always been great, but it's so much fun having Joel there. Like, I can't wait for all of the guys that fished with you last year to book those charters that are, the whatever it might be, the construction guys, it's one thing to be on the boat with a bunch of strangers. Joel makes the atmosphere fun, but when all those guys are buds, dude, it's next level. Like, look out. It's going to be a really good time.
It's going to be a good time for sure. Let's jump back on the phones. You want to get through 213-432-1090.
Hills and Ventura is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Thanks for joining us, Hills.
Hey, good morning, guys. For Captain Joel, I was actually on the Angler, and I saw the crew were really good. Obviously, they There was a big tangle. Oh, my word. It was as bad a tangle as you can get. And a guy had a big bluefin on. And the crew actually cut his line. They wrapped it around the baseball bat that they were hitting the, you know, bunking the bluefin with, and cut his line off and ran all the way up around the bow with this baseball bat and holding onto his fish. And then the other crew came and they retied him on. And he ended up landing that fish. That was Mike from Torrance. Is that common? I never saw that before.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get her done.
That's awesome.
We've had to hand line people's fish. We've, you know, guys tangled up under the boat and.
Yeah, you sacrifice your fingers.
Almost no, they're
right?
Still here, but
almost not.
Yeah, it was close. It was a good one.
No, so I saw his fingers are like gnarly, right? He got in the Spectre tangle and something took off, right?
Yeah. I tried to make a loop with a Spectre to put a guy's rod through it. Yeah. The jig that was on the other end of the Spectre was tangled up in another fish. It decided to take off right then, and it closed up on two of my fingers.
And I said...
And I don't know how it got my fingers out of there, but I didn't cut him off.
Why didn't you just cut the Spectre? I was like, no, you can't cut the Spectre. So you'd rather have your fingers cut off?
Well, my fingers were... It was already to the bone. At that point, it didn't really matter much. So.
Oh, Joel's that must have hurt.
Joel's responsible. Well, people get pissed when their Spectre gets cut. It's expensive.
I mean, a lot of times you got to drop 500 feet. Nobody wants... I don't want to cut 500 feet of somebody's Spectre off. Yeah. You know, that's the... Cutting somebody's line for me is last thing.
Yeah.
Boy, that is one thing that...
Yeah,
that
shows you the sacrifices that he'll make for people.
Well, I try to get the crew to do that, too. We don't want to... A lot of guys are too quick to cut nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Well, all I can say is if something was wrapped around my fingers and they're getting ready to cut out, I'd be cutting.
I was too busy throwing F-bombs out there to grab the pliers.
Boy, that was one thing that nighttime jig fishing has created for us, and it is some unbelievable tangles, especially on a night when, you know, the boat's not drifting a whole lot or spinning around or wrong side of the boat and everybody's dropping down different depths.
People don't realize that a little bit of angle in their line translates into at least a boat length or more.
Yeah.
If you're on the bow and you got like 5 degrees of angle, I'm kind of straight up and down. Kind of straight up and down isn't straight
doesn't
up and
do
down.
It.
You want to stay right on top of your stuff.
Totally.
You're fishing 500 feet, 5 degrees of angle, and if there's three fish between you and the corner, you're going to get tangled up with those fish.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to take all the necessary steps to keep yourself out of a tangle. We try to tell people, you know, if it looks like you might get in a tangle, you have two options. Either keep fishing and get in that tangle and you're going to be wiped out the whole stop.
Yeah.
Or you could take 45 seconds or maybe a minute to wind in real quick, get out of the water, relocate, toss away from the fish, get your gear back into the bite zone.
Yeah.
And maybe hook one yourself.
Totally.
So it's like maybe 6 minutes, 5 minutes tops to keep yourself out of a tangle that could wipe you out for the whole stop.
Yep.
Keep you tangle free and you might hook a fish in that drift. And be happy.
What good advice is that, man?
That's awesome. Good stuff.
I mean, it's just doing the work to catch the fish.
Yeah.
I got a great text guy that says, good morning, guys. Joel, what's the biggest albacore you saw during your commercial fishing times? Did the larger fish come from the North Pacific or the South? Also, any interesting bycatch when you're fishing South Pacific? What a great show this is. Loving it. And that's from John. It looks like calling from Los Angeles.
The coolest thing we catch in the South Pacific for bycatch is called a hapuka.
Hapuka.
It's a blue nose is what they call them on the island. They look like a salmon grouper sand bass combination.
What?
It's a really weird fish. I got a picture somewhere.
Okay.
And we catch them on like, they got weird kelp down there in the South, but like on a kelp. So those fish spawn on kelps, kind of like yellowtail and dum-dums do down here. And then when they get bigger, they settle into structure around the island. So you could go to New Zealand and charter a boat, and they'll fish those blue nose, is what they call them. And they get to 40 or 50 pounds, but when we catch them, they're 2 or 3 pounds.
Okay.
And they are delicious.
Really?
They are the best eating white meat fish that I've ever had in my life.
Oh, that's saying something.
Ever, 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 ever.
Wow.
Nothing. I mean, maybe a manchon comes close.
Yeah.
But they are really good. And on the way down, we catch some stuff. But the biggest albacore I think we've caught down there are some 50 pounders.
Okay. And bigger fish in the South than in the North?
No, it's about the same. The stuff those like the JJ on the pikey catch and mm-hmm. and uh, and Kavanaugh, he fishes commercial albacore now. Those guys, when they fish close to the beach, they catch some 35, 40-pound fish like that. So I don't think there's any...
But your average fish is what?
But the big fish are in the middle, in the tropics. That long-line fish that they catch out of Samoa.
What they call tombo?
They call them tombo, yeah. But that's that 50 to 70-pound fish.
Deep water.
But it's... That stuff's not the good eating stuff. It's higher mercury and low in oil content. So, like if you get a can of Starkist and you open it up, you notice it's a bunch of little pieces. That's that big long line fish they catch in the deep water in the tropics. Okay. And like I know the AFTA boats have some stuff that they sell down there at G Street at that market down there. Costco has a brand. And when you open it up, it looks like they use the can for a cookie cutter. That's a smaller jig fish.
Okay.
And it has low mercury and a higher oil count. So they have to do less to the fish to make it a sellable product.
Uh-huh. Got it. And is that like the fish that you caught? Is that where it would go?
Yeah. My boss has their own thing. It's high seas tuna. You can't buy it in the store. You got to get it online.
Oh, really?
My old boss.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore.
And it was canned?
It's canned, yeah. It's delicious. I've given it to some of my friends, and they say it's the best tuna fish they've ever had. So, So if you're really picky about your tuna, high seas tuna, you got to get it online.
Got to get it
online. Mike and Paulette, you owe me one.
That's cool. Hey, John in Huntington Beach has a good question. Good morning, Captain Joel, Pete, and Rick. Great show. I love fishing on the Condor. Is Captain Scott still running the trips? What is the process for getting your captain's license? He wants to know all those questions.
Oh, well, 730 days of documented sea time and some schooling. Passing a drug test, some character references, and then once you pass, also you need a
How do you document your sea time?
Pen and paper.
Yeah.
Or
just like now, if I go fishing with Joel, is that sea time?
That could be counted sea time.
Okay.
But you got to get me to sign off on it.
Yeah. It has to be signed off by a licensed captain.
Yeah, or the owner.
Or the owner.
Yeah.
The owner of the boat.
Yes.
Oh, I see. So what if you're running your own boat? Does that count as sea time?
Yeah, you can sign.
How do you sign that off?
You have a boat.
Yeah,
but so the tonnage of your boat, you wouldn't be able to get a 100-ton license because you got a small boat.
Right.
If you had a bigger boat.
Right.
But I'm sure over the years you probably have accumulated enough sea time to get at least 2 years.
I would think
worth of time from all the boats you've been fishing on.
Yeah, but that's how. So you have to accumulate sea time, and then you have to go and study for the test and take
Correct.
The test.
Yeah.
Yeah. Test pretty hard.
Well, I got kicked out of school because the yellowtail started biting the first day of the 10th grade, and I went fishing for a couple of weeks, so my study habits were pretty poor. So it took me a few times to pass my test.
Yeah. Well, Michelle's studying right now in the car.
She's studying right now.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. That way, when I get sleepy, she could drive for me.
I love it. Well, I had a fun text come through. It says, fantastic show, as always. I'm so interested, I'm very interested in fishing aboard the Condor. My question is for Joel. Being such a large boat, we all know the importance of bait capacity. Can you talk a little bit about what your bait holds? Also, on your shorter trips, like day-and-a-halfs and two-day trips, does the boat offer meal plans that are or are not provided in the fare? Lastly, do you have any plans on doing colonette trips for the winter time? That's all from Dan and Phillips Ranch.
So all the trips, if you buy a ticket, the meals are included. Meals and Mexican fishing
really?
Permits.
I didn't know that.
You can look on the website, the Fisherman's Landing website. You just, for boat, you click on Condor, and it'll give you the entire schedule for 2025. But that's subject to change if we get charters or whatnot. Right now, everything's all zeroed out.
We have colonette trips?
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
But you could book for 2025 right now.
Right now, yeah.
That's cool. So if you know you want to come fishing in June, you can jump on and book those spots.
Fisherman's Landing website.
Yeah, and get yourself on. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, check that out.
Yeah, totally.
The bait capacity, you know, it all depends on the size of the bait. At the end of the year, we were talking a little bit ago about how big the sardine was at the end of the year, and it was perfect for that yellowfin because we were catching that 60 to almost 80-pound yellowfin.
Right.
So it liked that big bait. Mm-hmm. But when the bait's big like that, it's hard for any boat to carry enough bait for a multi-day trip, especially if there's 33 people on the boat.
Sure.
Bait has always been a problem when the bait is huge. But when the sardines are regular size, you know, 4-inch or something like that, 5-inch, or if we have anchovies again, to where they're eating anchovies. If we ever catch albacore and we get anchovies again, the boat will hold enough bait for probably 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We have three deck wells and a slammer that hold bait awesome.
And you do up to 3-day trips?
I think 3.5 is our longest.
The Condor is a big boat, though. I mean, those are big wells, and it's a big slam. I mean, like, there's no shortage of bait on a boat like yours. That's the beauty of it.
You know, at the end of the year, we like sometimes there's like a water anomaly. Like, we have 75 degree water in the bay. We get our bait, and we're going out to the point. There's a big upwelling. The water drops from 75 to 60 degrees. That's 15 degrees or 12 degrees of temperature change.
And the sardine goes,
just not like that.
Yeah.
And then it warms up again. And so sometimes there are some conditions that it doesn't matter how much bait you put on the boat. It's a problem.
Yeah.
But there's nothing we can do about that. But, you know, on normal conditions, when everything's fine, the boat holds plenty of bait, that's not an issue.
Got it. I dig it. Hey, with that said, it's time to find out what's going on the water. It's time for our FishDope.com report by the Angler's Realtor, Youssef Husseini's online. I want to remind you, today's catch report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the new and easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity, the finest customer service. You can stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com and be sure you make your reservations today. Let's find out what's going on the water. Good morning, Youssef.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today? Great show.
Having fun, buddy. Good morning.
Good morning. Good. Okay, so we're still running kind of the same program here with tons of squid around all the Channel Islands, basically. Still the same kind of fishing, 3 a.m. to, you know, sunrise for yellowtail, get away from those squid. One of the best things to look for is looking for big packs of birds. If you're out there, you're going to go after these things, and usually the squid will be underneath them. They're just waiting for them to float. Santa Monica Bay, still very good bass fishing, both calico and sand bass, 40 to 80 feet of water. There are some big tide swings right now and lots of water moving around, which should make these game fish get going. And we should have a little bit of better fishing here. This time of year, sonar marks around the squid, find the yellowtail or the sea bass, and get on them. We still have a little bit of bluefin showing up around the mackerel bank and out towards the Tanner. There was a little bit of bluefin, a little bit of yellowtail caught there early last week. Not too much traffic out there right now. Obviously, there's not a lot of people out. There were a lot of private boat fishing this last week, fishing off the 9 for sorties. And some people had some pretty good scores, fishing the chlorophyll edges there, using big squid like normal. And rockfish fishing has been good out near the same areas in a little bit shallower water. Just remember, it's time to fill the freezer because the closure's coming up. And that's it for the report today.
That's great info, man.
Nice.
We'll take that for a beginning of December report. You know, we got good weather in front of us and some good fishing to be had. Youssef, appreciate that very much. With the new year coming up, what's going on in the real estate world?
Well, it's a little bit slow right now, kind of expected during the holidays. We're kind of back to a normal season that we used to have in the years past. It's not so crazy. Interest rates are floating down. You should see the market heating up again here in probably the next 2 months, I'd imagine.
I like that.
Things are still moving. It's just taking a little bit longer, you know. It's not, and of course, not the market it used to be.
Yeah, of course, fishdope.com is your best source. $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW, your $30 code. And, Youssef, how do we find you?
You can get me on my cell phone at 619-277-2169 on my website at sportsmansrealty.com. You can also get me on social media at Cal Realty. And then if you'd like a home evaluation, log on to SoCal Home Eval, put in your info, and get a free home evaluation.
Awesome. Great info, as always, buddy. We sure appreciate that, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks a lot for that. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more texts, and a whole lot more fun with Joel. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Don't delay and take advantage during Yamaha's Why Wait for Spring sales event. From now until December 6, 2024, eligible new 25 to 2.5 horsepower outboards include up to $500 in dealer credit, and new Yamaha 450 to 425 horsepower outboards include 7 years of coverage protection. 350 to 30 horsepower outboards come with 6 years of coverage protection. Visit your local Yamaha dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here. Offer ends December 6, 2024, subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models exclude new 2.5 to 25 four-stroke outboards and dealer credit up to $500 based on horsepower toward the MSRP value of goods and services purchased at the authorized participating dealer that sold the outboard. At no extra cost to the consumer, new 425 to 450 horsepower is a 24-month Yamaha extended service added to a 60-month factory limited warranty. New 30 to 350 horsepower is a 36-month Yamaha extended service added to a 36-month factory limited warranty. Choice offered by Florida dealers is a Yamaha extended limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha dealer for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
The best just got better. Shimano is proud to introduce the all-new Talica 20A and 25A reels. The Talica series is Shimano's flagship two-speed lever drag reel. It sits at the very pinnacle of the offshore world. The Shimano's Talica success is driven by its durability and spec attributes, allowing the series to differentiate from other lever drag reels within the market. The Talica is built around a cold forge machined aluminum one-piece frame. The all-new Talica 20A and 25A now boasts Infinity Drive. Infinity Drive employs two drag washers housed in the side of the reel, allowing for an ultra-smooth, powerful drag system while at the same time increasing winding power under a load as much as 40%. There's also a new lower low gear. If your utmost concern is performance without compromise, Talica 20A and 25A are the reels for you. Available now at your local Shimano dealer.
I've had the opportunity to fish many places in many different types of water, but never have I fished a place as much fun as Katmai Lodge in Alaska. Hello, my name is Harold Davis, typically fishing in the ocean, but this is an experience that you have to try for yourself. Fish natural rivers with tens of thousands of fish coming up, and they have all the gear: spinning, bait casting, fly rods, kings, silvers, pinks, sockeyes, and my favorite, the chums. Outstanding food, outstanding accommodations, great service. The lodge is located in the beautiful Katmai National Park, filled with amazing wildlife: brown bears, moose, eagles, otters, and it has spectacular scenery. And also the fact that the lodge is located right on the Alagnak River and your boat is just steps away from your room makes it great. Do yourself a favor, call Charmel at 1-800-330-0326 or go online katmai.com. And like Pete says, they will hook you up.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Lots of fun with Joel in the studio. Lots of great phone calls. If you want to get through, still time at 213-432-1090. Or again, keep those texts coming. Lots of great texts coming this morning, but still plenty of time to get you through.
Really, really great. And some great phone calls. Let's jump back on the phones, Rick.
That sounds good to me. How about this time we talk to Rich? Rich is calling us from Bradley this morning. Good morning, Rich. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Rich.
Good morning and happy December. You know, I've caught halibut from the surf line to over 300 feet when I was dropping a jig for rockfish, and I have no idea why they're at all these different depths. And is there a migration pattern or seasonal tendency that you could address and maybe get the whole Let's Talk Hookup committee to maybe chip in on that, give me the inside baseball?
I would have to think it has something to do with breeding, spawning, whatever. I don't know for certain.
Yeah, I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Halibut's a tricky one, too. Yeah, and, like, it's odd, too. This year, at least down here in San Diego, it was one of the best we've had in a long time. You know, and there was – it goes through cycles like a lot of fish do where, you know, you don't see much of it. And then there was some hard-bottom areas, you know, close to the border, above the border, just below it, that were fantastic fishing this year. You know, you see some of those four-pack and six-pack guys having, you know, close to limits of halibut. And then you go through a cycle where it's kind of slow. And I don't know if it's food, time, water – I wish I had an answer for you, Richard.
Imagine those guys yesterday in the Dana Landing Halibut Derby that had those 20 and 22 and 21 pounders. They've probably thought, oh, we've swept this thing, man. And then a 33 pounder
just
comes
to see,
up.
Just to see a 33
right?
come in.
And then or a guy has a 15 or 12 pounder. It's like, oh, man, I'm this is done. I've got
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I own it.
They don't get with anything, right?
I mean, a 33 pound local halibut is a really
that's
nice
a good
fish.
One.
That's a
nice
fish. Big one. That's a big one for sure.
But why they're out in 300 feet, I have no idea.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the call there. Appreciate it. Hey, I have a good text. And you know, one of the cool things about being on a sport boat or being on your own boat is being out on the ocean and seeing all the incredible stuff. And Jeff in Encinitas had a good tall tale. You had the same one coming up there.
Yeah. One I was going to read next. I love that story.
Good morning, guys. I'm nice to have Joel back in action. A few decades ago, I had a magical moment on the bow of the Legend while heading south on beautiful, slick morning. All of a sudden, a huge whale surfaced right next to the boat and sprayed from the spout and showered the bow. Turned around and looked at Joel in time in the wheelhouse, and he stuck his head out of the window and said that that was a blue whale and a very, very big one. I said, wow, once-in-a-lifetime moment. So that's you have those moments on the ocean, too.
We definitely get
here.
To see stuff that a lot of yeah. people don't get to see in a Talbot photo or Trials of Life video.
Right. One thing I thought of is you must have some amazing ocean moments when you were traveling 30 days down to the South Pacific. Anything that stands out?
You know, mostly when we get to where we're going and there's all the life, because there's a lot. You know, whoever said there's plenty of fish in the sea never traveled to the South Pacific. You can go days and days and days without seeing anything.
Anything.
But the coolest thing is... We're fishing up north, and we had finback whales going through some anchovies, and they're, you know, mouth all extended coming up. Yeah. Albacore actually rolling off their head, and we're jigging around, and the gear's all loaded up, and the whale's just eating and feeding, and the albacore are feeding. We're catching fish, making money. It was just,
that's just awesome.
Never hooked one of the whales, though.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's a sustainable fishery, very user-friendly for the rest of the planet.
Yeah, for sure.
Is it the same anchovy that we have up here? I mean, are they eating the same thing?
It seems like that stuff
different?
Up there, once we start catching fish, I mean, it's just a little bit bigger. Just like everything
two
else.
Eyes
like
on a wiggle.
In the spring down here, you know how that yellowtail gets on that? They call it no-see-em because it's very young. Anchovy fry or whatever it is, and they call them no-see-ems because you can't see it. So,
you know that...
Or they call it bloodless because, I mean, you can see right through them. And that's when you see a lot of fish, but you can't catch it because that stuff's so easy for the fish to eat. But once it gets a little bit bigger, then it starts being more user-friendly to the anglers or commercial guys or whatever. And it was just... We had like 900 fish on that whale that one day. It was just awesome.
Wow. That's a good day.
That's not a bad day. Yeah.
How about 900 fish being pulled, but you said you had a four-man crew?
Yeah.
How about 900 guys pulling, 900 fish being pulled by four guys?
Four guys.
That's unreal, dude. That's
unhooking
unreal.
Them, bleeding them, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do they bleed them right away as soon as they hit the deck?
Yeah, they've got to still be flopping. They bleed them on the landing table.
Oh, okay.
They come over, they cut them, they unhook them, they slide them down. It goes to a chute to like a kill box where there's water rated on them. As soon as they stop flopping, they pull them out and hose them off one more time. And once they dry off a little bit, the fish are never on deck more than 20 minutes.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow. So that's why it's such a good product.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen a live albacore with Captain Joel, but are they still like just the bloodiest of tunas? Like that is the one thing I remember.
No, bullet tuna are way worse.
Really? Okay.
You got a fish that's this big that has 25 gallons of blood in it. I don't know how it fits.
Okay.
We used to always tell them, no, don't let it hit the deck. And just wipe out the whole boat. No.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Okay.
They have the darkest meat. I mean, like...
Yeah.
Like black, yeah.
It's gnarly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Is there a market for it?
Islanders like... The darker the meat, the better it is for Islanders.
Yeah. Interesting.
They prefer skipjack over yellowfin and bluefin, and it's just how it is.
Wow.
But I don't know if there's a market for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I'd hate to clean the boat up if people were actively fishing those things.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I had another fun text. Hey, guys, what a great show. Is there any, and I thought that Joel would be a perfect person to answer this, is there any advice for a passenger on how to tell another passenger, hey, bro, you're definitely about to get tangled?
just like you said it.
Okay.
We tell them in the seminars, it's communication. Like, if you got a fish on, you're coming up, and you know you got to go underneath somebody to get by them so you don't tangle them up. Just go, hey, dude, coming under.
Yeah.
People forget to talk to each other. A lot of people get locked jaw. It's not hockey. Everyone tries to check each other against the boards or run through the next person. No, communication is makes things so much easier. Everything goes so smoothly at the rail if you just talk to each other. If you know how you got to go, just let the next person know that when you're coming by, hey, I'm coming under. Then all that person has to do is lift up the rod tip, step back, and boop, you just play right on through.
I think it's one of the reasons you've always had so much success with the passengers is we joke about it in the fun. Oh, it's Joel, and it's loud, it's fun, it's right atmosphere. But what that also does is completely break the tension on a group of people, and then they are going to communicate and be easier. Like, if the whole time nobody's saying anything to anybody, they're just looking at their box, and they're just looking at their bear, and they hook a fish. They're not going to have fun. If you've already created that fun atmosphere on the boat, and everybody's jovial and joking, having a good time, they are going to work together. Period. It's just easier. It's easier to talk to a guy that's laughing in your butt, and you're all working together at it.
Because we're all there for the same thing.
Totally.
We all want to catch fish. We want to have a good time.
Right.
Nobody wants to tangle, but the only way to, you know, we had a trip on the Legend a long time ago because Frank had a policy: we'll run with one. And we had four people. It was like a January yellowfin trip. We're fishing 85 miles. And the Legend's 75 by 25, so that's 175 feet of rail space. Four people. Every time we stopped the boat, all four of those guys were tangled up with each other. At one point, one guy had a blue shark. Another guy had a western gull that flew over the other two guys' lines.
Sweet.
And I was all, how do you guys do this? I mean,
how is this possible on 75-foot a boat?
I'm being punked here. You know, where's Alan Funt? It's
like, that's great.
But, just working together and talking to each other just makes it a lot easier.
No doubt.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, Calico Chris in Newport says, good morning. How much does a fish dehydrate when it weighs after a week of travel? Like, for example, when you put that fish down, that albacore down, and you put it down into the blast.
I think they lose about 6%.
6%.
Because we bleed them also. So the bled blast fish, there's somebody told me. I can't remember the number. But they do lose a little bit of weight.
And when do you stop fishing?
When the boat's full.
That's it.
Or the weather kicks us out. The weather kicked us out that one year when we had the 11 cyclones. It looked like we're going to have to drift for 10 days before we had a break in the weather.
Ooh.
Wow.
And then the wind turned out of the southwest, and we got to run northeast to Tahiti to get the hell out of there.
Why do you drift?
Just because
you can't
the fuel.
Run in it. Because you can't run in it.
We can't if we can't fish in it, we're going to drift.
You're going to drift.
And if we can't drift in it, we're going to jog through it.
Yeah.
Most of those storms move pretty quick. So it's like one day of misery and then, you know, another day where you can put the gear in the water and maybe catch a little bit of fish. But when they're stacked up like that, it's time to get out of Dodge.
That's crazy.
You got to be one badass dude to do that stuff, though.
Somebody has to do it.
Sure.
All I do is fish.
I'm just being sideways.
I could be a greeter at Walmart or I could run a boat.
Or you run the Condor, right? Even better.
That's way better.
Yeah, because we live in a kiddie pond here and you don't have to deal with cyclones.
No, but we still get some weather sometimes.
Get some weather, especially out at the bay.
But it's not like South Pacific weather.
No. That's real weather.
It was bad.
Cyclones worse with the swell that's produced or worse with the wind, or does it just not matter because everything sucks?
It's all the
same.
It's just a beating.
Okay. That's wild.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's jump back on the phone.
You got it. How about we talk to Jim? He's calling us from National City this morning. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was lucky enough to fish with Joel this year on the Condor. And, I'm 77. I started sport fishing when I was like 12 down at Seaforth. But, this boat jumped right to the front of the line as far as one of my favorite boats now. I mean, everybody on that boat is fishing. Joel is... Pete, you know, that was the day I encountered you before I got on the boat that day, and you told me the greatness of Joel as a person and a fisherman, and Pete, you were right on. This guy is a class act who has been around the block, and I'll tell you, I really enjoyed my time on the boat, and like I said, everybody on that boat is real fishy. The cook is crazy. hard fisherman, crazy great good, cook. And, you know, I left my tackle box on the boat, and through the landing and the boat, those guys were conscientious enough to make sure I got my tackle box back, my Let's Talk Hookup tackle box. And it got to the landing, and Carl gave me a call, and I was lucky enough to get my tackle box back. But Joel, I'll tell you, it was a pleasure meeting you. I enjoyed my trip with you. I hope to be on many more. The Condor's a great boat. You got a great crew there. So thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Okay. We enjoyed having you.
It's awesome.
Jim's always fun on the boat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I saw Jim waiting for the boat. He was waiting to jump on the Condor, and I thought, oh, you just got to have fun.
I tried to tax him for a couple old surface irons on his box before we gave it back to him, but, yeah.
No. Well, he wouldn't cut loose?
There was nothing.
He introduced himself as one of Pete's friends, so I said,
scary.
Yeah. I said, yeah. Oh, no.
Uh-oh. You have a good day. Thanks for the
pressure
call,
was
Jim.
On.
See,
nice
Jim. I thought so. This is from John in San Diego. He says, hey, guys, love to hear the show. Love to hear the show and so much fun with Captain Joel. My question is, you being the big albacore guy, what's your prediction? What's it going to take for us to have albacore back in the Southern California bite again?
Yeah, Joel.
There's been albacore out west of here ever since they went away. There's the urban seamount is too far for us to go, but every time we go to the South Pacific, we almost run right over that thing. We catch a couple on the jigs, and on the way home, you know, in the spring, we drive over that thing and we catch some albacore on the gear. All it has to do is just come this way a little bit more.
Yeah. How far is too far? Like how far is that seamount?
It's the 130 line or something? 133? 135? I can't remember now. Yeah. It's inside the 140 line. It's out there ways.
It's a long way. Out of
middle,
our range.
Almost in the middle between here and Hawaii.
Yeah.
It's a long ways.
Yeah, that's well, if you're traveling 6,500 miles to the South Pacific,
yeah,
it's not that far. It only looks like, it depends on how you got your chart scaled out on the plotter.
Yeah, it's only a couple inches sometimes.
Just that far off land.
Yeah.
Well, how come we can't get there?
Great point.
Here's another text here. It says, good morning, gentlemen. Joel, I used to pinhead on the Condor out of Santa Barbara when Fred owned it. It rode good because of that bulbous bow. It's got that big bulbous bow. It's pretty amazing. What range of trips does the Condor run out of San Diego at Fisherman?
A 3.5-day trip, I think, is the longest one we have scheduled. I was just kind of briefly going through it. We're capable of doing longer trips. We have an extended route, so you know, I think somebody could charter the boat maybe for a 4 and a 4.5. You know, but if you want to go for a longer trip, you want to carry fewer people just for the bait thing. We hold 230, 240 scoops.
That's a lot of bait, man. That's a lot of bait.
Yeah.
I hold three on my boat, you know. Maybe four if the bait's good, you know.
Yeah. But let's shout out.
You fish so good, you don't need a lot of bait. But I'm surprised you take that much.
Let's shout out to the Everingham brothers. Thank God for them. If it wasn't for them, we
would have suffered. Those guys work so hard.
They do so much. And often it's like bait. Well, passes a bait. You stop at the bait receiver. But those guys are working 7/24, especially during the season.
Yeah, during the season. There's a lot of boats. There's a ridiculous turnover on that bait. Yeah. And it's hard to keep, you know, especially us whiny boat captains, you know, we always want, you know, the best, the hottest, the greenest bait.
Yeah.
And, you know, those guys do a remarkable job of keeping those boxes full and keeping live bait in the tanks.
And
it's hard to fathom that they just about don't miss ever. I mean, like, think of the demand between every sport boat, every skiff, every guy, every kayak, everything, every single day, all summer long. The line is from the bait receiver to the launch ramp for skiffs, and every boat, every night, turning around, and yet there's always bait in the box.
Yeah.
It's hard to fathom how hard those guys work and how much bait they're able to produce, and they make it work every time. Like,
you know, their methodologies have been refined so good that it's hard to get a bad batch of bait these days. Remember, there used to be a lot of bad batches of bait. Now they
have such a refinement. Well, we had anchovies, you know, stuff on the beach, and those guys that have to pull it out of the surf, you know, and that just thrashes the bait.
Yeah.
And it was
so
wiggling when it came on the boat, but it didn't really do much. I mean, some of those albacore years, we had bait that was so dry. I mean, it was just really tough.
Yeah.
Really, really tough. But all you had to do is sink her up a little bit so your bait would sink and something shiny, it would work. You know, the bait on the hook is better than no bait on the hook.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you're a bait fisherman.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Jig fisherman, you don't care about bait.
No. Well, it's nice that the guy had something to throw on the bait tank to fire things up so you get a bite on the jig. So
what is the hot jig for albacore when you were trolling down the South Pacific?
You know, everyone's all colors, this and that. You know, we couldn't put zookers on our deal because we fish 400 pound. Mm-hmm. You can't get 400 pound through a zooker.
Yeah.
So it's those tuna clones. Those things take a beating.
Yeah.
The zookers, they swim better because they're lighter and they got that resin head.
Yeah.
But that resin head hits a landing table enough, then it busts. They start swimming really good after when they get cracked or chipped or whatever. But when they blow up, then you got to take the time to change the jig out.
Explain a tuna clone, Ricky. A tuna clone.
It's a lead head in a skirt that's designed for the lead head to fit in it.
Okay.
It's the vinyl version of a cedar plug. You know, it's just a chunk of lead, but instead of having a piece of wood in the back, it's got vinyl skirt. But like you said, it's commercial. It's heavy duty. It trolls through the water nice and straight. They're cheap. They're indestructible.
It's
great
really,
lure.
Really, really hard to ruin those things.
I had a fun text. It's from John in Mira Mesa. It says, Joel, do commercial boats of different owners communicate or work with each other on the water, or is it too competitive to allow for that? Also, does anybody keep in touch with Captain Jack Webster?
Commercial fishing is just like sport fishing. There are groups.
Mm-hmm.
There's cliques. Sometimes intermingling with somebody outside the group is taboo, but... It's all the same everywhere. In the office, you know, on a land job or something like that, you know, they're friends that
are
very cliquish around the water cooler. It's just a group thing.
Advanced communications are blurring the lines on that so much these days. In the old days,
Starlink, everybody could talk to everybody.
You had to have the right radio to be even able to talk to this guy or that guy, and maybe somebody had it, but they didn't say anything, and they were just listening to the background.
Now it's just a text away, or you just pick up the phone call.
Yeah.
You know, you call him on your cell phone.
Yeah, this guy might not be in the code group, but he's a buddy, and I owe him one, and I'm going to... It's just the lines have been blurred so much more than that in the old days.
Yeah, no doubt. Joel, you've seen so many anglers over the years that you've been on the boats. What separates the good angler from the not so good angler in your eyes? I know you talked about there's
attitude.
These people, attitude.
That's a great answer.
There are some people that are so wound up from the get go because they figure they spent X amount of dollars to go on this trip and they better fill their freezer, or this is just a, you know, they forget, you know, oh, look at the weather. The weather's awesome. They're, you know, out having a good time. People that go out to have a good time, their karma thing or whatever, it's just way better. They catch more fish. They get more bites. They have a better time. People that are wound up from the get-go can't catch their butt with two hands.
Yeah. Just have to relax and enjoy the day, right?
Just breathe through your nose. Have a good time. If it's there, you're going to get yours.
You were talking about a couple that were on the boat that they catch 30 of the 60
Jack
bites.
And Nanette.
Yeah.
Okay. What separates them?
They are... very mellow. You don't know when they get one. They hook a fish, you know, they're real quiet.
And they're just kind of...
And all like, hey, Nanette, what are you doing? Yeah. You know, they fish fluorocarbon, they fish their bait, they fish really good.
Yeah.
They fish a lot.
You know, and they just...
Tackles all...
Their demeanor is just...
Just mellow.
Just right in line with the people that are going to catch fish.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it a lot. And it's weird, you know. Some people don't believe in that, you know. But, like, if I'm too wound up and a little too wrapped up in the game, I can't...
You?
Yeah. It's happened before. Well, when I was younger, it used to happen a lot more. Nowadays, my crew's going, you don't get mad at anything. I go, oh, I get a little wound up, but...
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't fish it if I get all twisted just up.
Enjoy the experience.
Yeah. I do better if I... just stay objective and just kind of look around and just do my thing. And, and oh, look, hey, here's some fish, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But if I'm all wound up, I can't make the right move to save my backside. It's and it's like that with a lot of people that come out of the boat, you know. The madder they get, the harder it is for them to get a bite.
There you go.
There it is. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's going fishing with Captain Joel. We're giving away a day-and-a-half trip. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Sports Grid Radio Network. Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rock Cod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost. But not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Hey, San Diego, it's the Ford Black Friday sales event. 4 days of the biggest savings on an incredible selection. From F-150, Explorer, Bronco Sport, or the all-electric Mustang Mach-E. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers now through December 2nd and get great offers across the lineup of Ford trucks and SUVs. It's the Ford Black Friday sales event, and now is the best time to get behind the wheel of your brand new Ford and drive it home today. But hurry, these offers absolutely end December 2nd. Only at your San Diego County Ford dealers, they'll be glad to hook you up.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader with all-inclusive fishing trips to Cedros Island. We now have two lodges to choose from and both sit on the cliff's edge with relaxing ocean views and gorgeous morning sunrises. With direct flights departing from the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. The time has come. We're going to find out who's going fishing on a day and a half trip on board the Condor and getting that great 2025 sport fishing calendar. Joel, do us the honors. Flip the coin. All right, we have a caller today. Congratulations, Mike in Torrance. You are going fishing on a day and a half trip. Congratulations.
Yeah,
bro.
Congratulations, Mike. And thank you, Joel. It was a great
awesome,
time.
Hey,
always.
Thanks for having us. I'd
we
got to
have
back
you come
again.
Back. You got to come back. Absolutely. You're stuck here now.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Yeah.
And
letting,
now that you know it's so easy
gap.
To be in the world headquarters,
we're not
right?
letting you leave anymore. This is
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
all right.
We're getting you.
Come,
yeah.
And so, Michelle needs to come next time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we're going to make sure she stays.
Captain Michelle by that time, right?
Exactly.
Yes, it will be Captain Michelle.
Yeah. So if somebody wants to ride with you on the Condor, how do we do that?
I believe calling Fisherman's Landing at 619-221-8500.
Yeah, or go online, fishermanslanding.com. Pick the
I'm
Condor.
An old guy. I prefer the phone.
I hear you. Yeah, well, the guys are nice.
Technology isn't always your friend.
Yeah.
Call
well,
us, man.
Thanks for being here. We appreciate that.
It's fun,
thank
Joel.
You. Thanks to JP for manning the phones and the board. And thanks to all of you out there. Boy, what a great Thanksgiving weekend. We sure appreciate everybody sticking with us here. And thanks to all the texters and the callers and everybody else out there. Adam, for doing the app. Thank you, Adam, for all you do. Next Saturday, Captain Benny Florentino from Close to Charters will be here. That'll be a fun show.
Yeah, no doubt.
7 to 9. Right back there. And then next Sunday, Rick and Corey are going to talk tunas and calicos, tackle and more. That'll be a fun show. This is open phone lines and open text for Rick and Corey next Sunday right here on Let's Talk Hookup. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you right back here on 1090 AM, YouTube, Facebook Live, Sports Grid Radio Network.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.